thank you for joining us today. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I wanted to walk you through a quick background on the New York City's efforts around dental services and oral health, and then talk about some transitions we've made in the oral health program with a new framework that we started a few years ago, and leave you with some of our goals in the upcoming year. So as you can imagine, the New York City Department of Health is a large organization. Our mission is to really improve and promote the health of all New Yorkers. And to do this, we have over 5,000 employees, many, many divisions. The oral health program has been under prevention and primary care in the bureau that I oversee, primary care access and planning. There are realignments happening at the Department of Health, and we are actually moving oral health closer to family and child health in order to better take advantage of the synergies with those target populations. But for the last few years, we've been really rebooting the program under the prevention and primary care umbrella. And so just a quick history of our program. We, up to 2008, operated over 30 school-based dental clinics as well as 5 health center-based clinics. The main target population of these clinics were low-income children that we saw in the early 2000s dental access issues and wanted to provide clinical service to this population. But as we saw an increase in our CHIP enrollments and Medicaid-managed care where this dental benefit is covered and there were dental providers contracted with the health plans to provide services to this population, we actually saw the utilization of our dental clinics decreasing. Just to give you a sense of that decrease, in 2008, we served about 17,000 children, which is actually less than 1% of the New York City children aged 0 to 18. So very low utilization, about 4% of the elementary school population. And this gave us pause. We really had to stop, think about, you know, how we're using our resources and if we can make a bigger impact in oral health in another way. So we started to phase out our direct dental services. We're very conscious of the service impact that this program phase out may have. So we brought in other dental providers to take over many of our sites. We also created a resource guide that was curated, really looking at providers that were no cost or low cost that had capacity to serve these families and the children. And then we worked very closely with our colleagues at the state and the dental vendors, managed care plans, to make sure that there was outreach related to the dental benefits that these children and their families would have. This gave us opportunity to really refocus the program with population-based strategies and a public health approach, really going back to the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene's core mission of prevention. And we then developed what is today's oral health program with an emphasis on surveillance, education, policy, and really to with the goal of expanding the reach of our oral health efforts. So I'm just going to walk through kind of the key components of our framework. These are very familiar to all of us working in public health. Three key buckets that we work, we have our program priorities and our activities are surveillance, education promotion, and policy. And I wanted to kind of give you a sense of what we're doing in each of these areas. But a key thing that we did as we rebooted our oral health program was really take to heart some of the best practices, even in the IOM, CDC, and various different parts of kind of oral health literature that said really bring together multiple stakeholders. There are many different parts of the public health system, the health delivery system that are working on oral health. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. So what we did in early 2013 was bring together very established thought leaders in oral health across academic, nonprofit, public sector, private sector, stakeholders. To give you an example, we had Procter & Gamble, Colgate, as well as NYU and Columbia College of Dentistry, and the state associations, the local associations, and then various thought leaders that had really helped bring part of the Medicaid redesign to think about oral health as well. So it was a best practice that has really paid off. It basically led to our four priorities in oral health as we reoriented our program, which one was reach target populations that we know are vulnerable from an oral health standpoint, such as pregnant women and young children. Integrate oral health into the areas that the department is already touching the health system. Really think about oral health as overall health, and we do so much around health promotion. Where can we better link with oral health? Collaborate with our partners, both internal and external, on potential prevention programs. And finally, continue to build a case for oral health, especially around prevention. So in our surveillance activity, in our program evaluation activity, really be thoughtful of how we can share the impact of our programs and efforts. So just jumping into surveillance in a little bit more detail, I'm sure all of us deal with data in various capacities, and there were multiple data sets we really needed to get a full picture of oral health, especially among the vulnerable groups in New York City. Many of these instruments will be familiar because they're national instruments. There are a couple I wanted to highlight that are New York City specific. One is the Child Dental Health Survey. It's something that came out of this new reoriented oral health program. It's a tool that we developed in New York City focused on early caries, childhood protective factors and risk factors, especially among the daycare population. We had a poster on it on Monday and had shared a fair amount of detail about that instrument being used by other counties in New York. We're happy to share it. So if you have any questions about that, we'd love to see and get feedback on it. It's something that's in its second iteration. We also have access to state Medicaid claims data. So this is kind of concrete, hard data that we can look at to understand how people are accessing and utilizing the health system. And another kind of more innovative data source that we discovered was our emergency department's surveillance. So we actually we have a mandated local health law that requires over 90% of the hospitals to report their ED visits daily. We get real-time feeds on this. And so we did some digging in that, and I'll share some of that. So there are some, you know, looking at some data sources you may have and really thinking about where can I extract some picture of oral health and the oral health status of a population I may be interested in. It's one of the activities we did. So just walking through a couple of our data pieces. One is the Community Health Survey. This is an instrument used by multiple counties, I'm sure, an annual health survey. It's a random sampling of the county's population in New York City. We have five counties. And you can see that, and this is a trend I think we've heard even in it's kind of universal across the country, but you see that there are disparities in oral health based on race, ethnicity. And so here we see, and this is a trend we've seen in New York City for a while, where the Asian population is more likely to not have had a preventive dental visit in the last 12 months. This is, again, focused on more the adult population. We also see a relationship between no dental visit and higher federal poverty levels. So those that are in that 100% FPL, this is a Medicaid-eligible population. They do have a dental benefit through Medicaid, but we still see that almost 50% of them have not had a preventive dental visit in the last year. Another rich source is actually from the state using the third grade survey. I think Amy also mentioned this data source. And we can see we've made improvements in New York City and New York State. We think this is partly because, both in caries and untreated caries, and this is partially because of nutrition guidelines changing both in school and daycare environments, more training around that, as well as I mentioned, potentially better access to some preventive dental services. But what we see is that there's still a disparity between low socioeconomic, even in New York City, children and high socioeconomic children. And another factor I want to offer up as a potential explanation for New York City is doing better than New York State overall is that we have fluoridated water, and we protect that we have a very active, constant policy group that continues to protect that policy, and we do think it makes a difference. So the syndromic data that I mentioned, you can see the trend is held pretty steady in terms of oral health visits to the ED. A couple interesting things about what we saw in this data is that overall oral health related ED visits is about 1% of all ED visits. But you can see on the left, bottom left, that the majority of these visits are happening during normal business hours. So that kind of points to an access issue. It points to something that may be reflective of people substituting the ED for regular preventive care. Another interesting fact from our syndromic surveillance is that the age breakdown. You can see that among the population that's going to the ED for oral health-related issues that is not trauma-related, we stripped out trauma-related from the definition. 23 is the peak age, but you can see it really spikes up at 18, kind of indicating, again, an access issue where people are coming off CHIP and potentially don't have dental insurance and are substituting care in the ED. In our second bucket in our framework, education and promotion, Brimneet's actually going to go into a bit more detail around this. We had four key areas of activity, and I'm going to just flash some examples of each of these. One was to just use our surveillance data, use our data sources to increase awareness among all stakeholders of the oral health status in New York City, focus our outreach and education materials, target provider groups because we do fundamentally believe that oral health is a part of overall health, and we wanted to focus on non-dental providers, and then collaborate on programs that strengthen access to dental services, such as NFP, such as Head Start, et cetera, and even our Department for the Aging and programs they have around elderly access to dental health. So just some of our materials, these are all available at nyc.gov/health. Some of the materials building on our surveillance work, we put out a vital signs that gives a snapshot of the prevalence and epidemiology of oral health in New York City. And on the right, you can see our abstract for the emergency department data that I mentioned. It's actually garnered a fair amount of interest, and we're hoping to use that even more robustly in the future. We have multiple kind of health promotion focused materials. We had a fact sheet focused on the Child Dental Health Survey really informed us on some of the risk factors and protective factors and behaviors around oral hygiene. So we developed a tips for preventing early childhood tooth decay. We also felt that there was a fair amount of misinformation around fluoride varnish. So we actually created a fact sheet on fluoride varnish really to target that, increase the comfort with parents and caregivers allowing their kids to get fluoride varnish at their pediatrician's office or even in school. And then we created the first ever health bulletin on oral health for New York City. This was something we just launched this year, and we have about 100,000 copies in circulation, and it's something that we partner with all the outlets for dental services and primary care services to make sure it's available to our New Yorkers. We then did a fair amount of work in 2013 and 2014 to really target provider groups. One is putting out kind of our health alert or health information pieces to the primary care sector promoting oral health and really providing guidelines for high-risk populations like pregnant females and young children and elderly. And then we did a specific outreach with primary care providers that actually are part of a different program in DOHMH to address diabetes and the intersections with oral health, and we did a whole outreach piece around that. In terms of our policies focus for 2014, we really wanted to monitor pediatric and adult dental coverage under the ACA through our marketplace. We continue to advocate for adult dental coverage being an essential health benefit, and also looking closely and working with the state on Medicaid. both in terms of reimbursement, innovative strategies around Medicaid, and including how we can improve it for elderly adults. And then we look at our local regulations. How can we do more in our local regulatory authority to improve oral health practices for early childhood daycare centers? So 2015, working on a lot of the new data sources and continuing our education promotion efforts and then mobilizing our policy agenda. So since this is fairly new, we're continuing to do that work. Thank you.